Okay, I want to talk about something. This is like to me one of the most interesting facts about you that not everybody knows, which is that someone very famous follows you on Twitter.
Yes.
You want to tell the people who it is?
We should let them guess first.
Yeah, go ahead in your car or in your workout or whatever you're doing. Guess what famous person follows Thomas Cox on Twitter? Like legitimately famous.
It's not who you think it is. Actually, no one would ever guess this.
No. You should probably tell him.
It's MC Hammer. He follows me and I don't follow him.
That's my favorite part about it, that you have not followed him back. Like it, yeah. Because we have our friend Luke Gurley is followed by Chance the Rapper on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you know he follows Chance back.
100%.
He's in love with him. But you do not follow MC Hammer back.
Why would I? Do you think he listens to this?
Hammer, if you're out there right now.
What if this is his first episode? He's like, I'm going to try this podcast out. And then everything's about me.
And then he just stops it, and you know what he says.
It's Hammer time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what I would love for you to kind of start tweeting things, and then like within the tweet put Hammer lyrics in there. Talk about how frustrating your life is and just say like, we need to pray just to make it today.
Well, I don't know any Hammer lyrics except for it's Hammer time.
Too legit to quit.
I don't even know that. I mean like, yeah, I probably do if it comes on. I've got some weird Twitter history.
Yeah.
Like one time when I was in college, I tried to start Twitter beef with James Blunt. You remember that singer? Yes. You're beautiful. I just tweeted mean things at him for a while. It was.
That's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, me and Cam are just like.
That's very un-you right there.
I know, I deleted all of them. I felt bad about it. That's very me, but like.
Big James Blunt trolling.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine. He's got millions of dollars from like 3 songs, so. I think he was on top of the iTunes chart for like 6 months for that song. I'm trolling him right now. What if he listens to this too?
Dude, what if Hammer and James Blunt are like at Sonic listening to this podcast?
Well, wasn't it like Brian Bozeman who...
Yeah, Bozeman used to troll Jose Canseco.
That's right.
A lot on Twitter. And I legitimately was worried that he was... That Jose Canseco was going to take him out. Or, like, hire somebody to take
them. Sure.
Because they were not nice tweets.
My favorite Jose Canseco thing. Have you ever seen the play where he's trying to catch a fly ball and it hits off the top of his head and goes over the fence? It's a home run.
You would think since it hit him, it would be a ground rule double.
Maybe it was.
Like, it's that deflection thing.
Maybe it was a ground rule double, and I just always thought it was a home run.
That's fantastic.
But
I'm going to look that up as soon as we're done.
You should. That'd like, knock me out. I don't know. He just got...
Folks, welcome back to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast where Thomas and I kind of break down some things that have been encouraging us in Scripture lately. And who knew that this was going to be a thing that would work? But we've gotten a lot of encouragement from you, the listener, and we appreciate that a lot. So we actually already recorded this episode once before, but we had a technical malfunction, and so... Thomas's channel didn't record at all. So it was only my channel. There'd be like big swaths of nobody talking. And then I would chip in or laugh or something like that. And Thomas wanted me to release the episode.
Yeah, it just been funny. Like, what's he responding to? I'm so glad though you did like a different intro right there. Because I would have felt like if we were talking about the thing we initially talked about.
Yeah.
Which we'll do that one later. But
yeah, we'll do it another time.
I was just like, I started laughing because I thought that's what you were going to talk about. And then you didn't. So at the very beginning, if you hear me laughing, it's because...
That's it.
Anyways.
I don't know if you will, though, because we started the intro, and then Thomas, who scrolls Instagram while we're recording the show, accidentally hit the audio and started playing a video from his feed.
I need you to know that I started scrolling Instagram in anticipation of what our intro is
going to be. Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to start us today?
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, so... I've kind of been going just like, and I don't know how much I'm like trying to, people have like said to me like, oh, that, remember that one you did on this one. And I'm like, oh, I don't remember doing that. So I don't remember if I've already talked about like reading through John or not, but, historically I've done like a chapter of a gospel at a time. And John, I've just been doing like kind of, I remember talking about this, but I just kind of been going to where just reading it until I feel like I got what I needed to, whether that was two right. sentences or three pages or whatever. It's usually not three pages. It's sure. usually pretty quick. But so I've been there for a little while, and I've felt lately like I just felt like I've been longing for like intimacy with Jesus and like a more. I had a hard couple of weeks a few weeks ago, and I feel like I'm out of it now, which is awesome. I feel great. But I remember in that time, like there's a thing that I always long for, and you know this about me, just like a longing for a necessity of Jesus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like that sounds so like if you don't know me at all, or if anyone, even if you do know me and you hear someone say, I need Jesus, you're like, like everyone needs Jesus.
You do, pal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which like you probably sure. you deserve to have made that noise. Like you deserve to have made a raspberry sound into your headphones as you're listening. But I do. I have like a, and I don't know if it was like my, you know, like we've talked about a little bit. Like I grew up in a church. Like I from day one, you know, like
yeah.
I was like baby Jesus in a church play.
You
like,
actually were baby.
I was like, I was in the cradle.
They carried you in.
Yes. Like yeah. that was a thing. Like, you know, like as long as I possibly could, I've been in the church as
the
much as possible.
Eyelashes on a baby Jesus in the history of.
These eyelashes have gotten me a lot of places, but
that should be your bio.
Yeah. Right? But I do, I think I was talking to our boss, Tom, about this a few weeks ago. I've always, like, I don't know. I just, like, I don't have one of those stories of, like, man, I hit rock bottom and I realized how much I needed Jesus. Like, I did, you know, and I do still. I have moments sure. all the time where I'm like, good night, I need a Savior so bad because I'm terrible. And, man, I was before Jesus, and I still am in a lot of areas, but I definitely have, like, times where I'm like, I just want him so much more right now. And I'm like wanting to just, I don't know. I just want to like, I want you to like drag me places, Lord, because I need it so bad. And, I want that a lot. I find myself wanting that, wanting like an intimacy with Jesus, feeling like it's missing sometimes. And I felt like I was in that swing. Just like, man, I feel like I want to want you so bad right now. And I don't know. I don't know what it is that keeps me from getting there. But I had in the middle of feeling that, earlier this week, I read this place where like, and I think like, because I sound like I may just be stammering along right now, but I think growing up in church too, there are certain things I've talked about this before in the Gospels where like, it's easy for me just to glaze over them because I feel like I could just say, I could say every word in this. Like, not because I've tried to memorize it, just because I feel like I've heard it so many times. And I kind of came across that in John chapter 20. Like, this is where, like, Jesus has actually, Mary comes up to the tomb and she sees that Jesus isn't there. And she's like, and I'm like, okay, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be the angels and there's going to be, you know, Jesus is going to talk to her. It's going to be awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. But I know everything that's going to happen. So let's just read through it really quick. Yeah. So I can get to the part where I can't really remember what happens, you know, I'm like
sure.
John 21 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I read this a little bit and it says there's two angels. Mary saw them. And this is in Jesus' tomb. And it says, they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, which like, way to go, gardener. You know, whatever. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. And then Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him, cried in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And we like our pastor is well known for giving like a Easter sermon on this, you know, like there's that moment there where Jesus just says her name and she knows who it is instantly. She goes from not having any idea who it is, thinking it's a gardener. Like obviously he's unrecognizable to her for whatever reason. Like, and then all it took was him saying her name, just saying Mary. Yeah. And, what a beautiful thing. It was a moment where I like, was like, whoa, man, I've started recognizing places throughout my day this week where I felt like, you know, Jesus wasn't looking at me and saying, Thomas, but he was very clearly showing himself to me and showing a personal thing to me. I thought of how personal and intimate Mary's relationship with Jesus must have been, for her to know that, like, man, he says my name differently than anyone else in the world. Right. Like when Lee talks to me, I don't think you've called me Thomas in probably 10 years. You know?
Probably only if I'm talking about you to somebody else.
Sure. Yeah. And he calls me 4, right, which is my baseball number. And, you know, anyone who's in my family, like my sisters, they call me T. Like no one else really calls me T. You know, like, it's just like a sweet thing we have. And all he did was say her name. Like, he didn't say like M or Mary or whatever. He said Mary, but he said it in a way that was so personal and so sweet to her. I find myself longing for that. And when I read that this week, it struck me and made me remember like how personal and sweet my relationship with Jesus is. And like, he's not too big for that. You know?
Yeah. When you think about him actually saying your name, I can't think about, I almost can't imagine anything, kind of kinder than that. Just your name coming off of the lips of Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about this particular story is as it goes on, like you kind of have to read between the lines, because he says her name. And then the very next thing that happens is that she like tackles him for a loss. Like it's a quarterback sack. It's like 3rd and 20 or something like that. Because the very next thing that happens is Jesus says to her, Mary, you have to let go of me. Like, don't cling to me because I haven't yet returned to my Father. And so that's what happened. So he says, Mary, and then she just like, she's like, lunges. Teacher. Yeah. And then whack. And then she just takes him, you know, down almost. And, you know,
she'd be roughing the pastor.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So she is, because the word that he uses is so expressive. I mean, to cling, you know, he's like, don't cling to me. But the thing that I love about this is I've always been a little put off by that. Just, it's like, cause part of it, you're thinking like, Jesus, like, she needs you. Like, this is a woman that we know that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. And so she's had a life full of fear and insecurity and just a life of just like having your mind and your personality and your heart just pulled this way and that kind of deal. So being close to Jesus is where she felt safe. And so she's clinging to him and he's like, don't. And you're like, Jesus, come on, this isn't the time.
Let her.
Yeah, let her tackle you, man.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Mm. And yeah, but he has the word yet in here. He says, don't cling to me because I haven't yet returned to my Father. I haven't yet ascended. And so Jesus, who died for us, who then rose from the dead, was going to ascend into heaven. And then he told his guys on his last night, when I do that, then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, so that anybody who believes in Jesus has actually the Spirit of Jesus living inside us. And the thing that I like about this is just a realization of, he's saying, don't cling to me. I haven't yet gotten to where I'm going to be so that I can send the Spirit right inside your heart. In other words, like, I know you want to cling to me. Actually, I want that too. And I'm going to make it so that you will never be apart from me ever again. I'm going to cling to you. And just thinking about Jesus, who died for us, who rose from the dead for us, who then ascended into heaven for us, is now in such a close, intimate relationship with us, sending us the Holy Spirit, that he is clinging to us. We're the ones tackled for loss.
Yeah.
Like, he's always with us in that way. Calling out our name, reaching out to us, and then just clinging to us so close. That is such a sweet thought. And I think it kind of answers what you were longing for in going to the scripture in the first place, or in stumbling upon it.
Yeah.
But also goes further in him just saying, and I'm going to be with you.
I think that's super sweet. I think for me, it's really easy. And I may be the only person, but it's easier for me to lose sight of, like, even within like doing all the right things and like having a ministry, spending time with Jesus, like going to church, having small groups, it's easy for me to lose sight of like a personal relationship with Jesus and like an intimacy with him. And that's really helpful for me to hear you say that. And, Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day where, and I guess it's, is it Revelation 2:10? Revelation 2:10, is that where it is?
Chapter 2, definitely.
Yeah, maybe it's 2:17. I don't know. But in chapter 2, there's a place where it says he will give you a white stone with a new name on it. That's, you know, just like a little secret between you and him. It's, it's him, you know, he's not going to call me four. Maybe he will, I don't know. But like, it's something like that, you know, it's a,
right.
I'm pretty pumped about that.
I've been reading through the Psalms again, and
rightfully so, by the way.
And I got to the like probably one of the most famous passages of scripture in the whole book, which is Psalm 23. It's the shepherd psalm. It's something David wrote, and it's where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Christy and I were talking recently about how we have been, it feels like we've been sprinting from one thing to the other, to the next, like so much lately, just, you know, certain things have happened that have ramped up different things in our lives. And there's been like the normal stuff of the week, the normal kind of deliverables and getting kids here and these sports and that kind of stuff and school and homework and everything. And work stuff. And then there's been stuff on top of that, big things to prepare for. When is that going to happen? Counseling appointments in the middle of that stuff. And it's just felt a little frenzied and frayed. We're in fall break right now, which is awesome. I've been in my PJs like the entire day, which is great.
I've come over here twice this weekend, and both times you've had your PJs on.
I'm really, really digging fall break. But leading up to this, it has been frenzied. And we've felt like a little... just a little afraid, and not afraid, but frayed like the end of a rope. And I felt like I wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
But in the middle of that, it was so sweet to come to, yes, it's a cliched passage of scripture or whatever, but to slow down and to read this, that that the way that the Lord shepherds me, which a shepherd gets sheep where they need to be, gets them fed, gets them taken care of, keeps them safe, and they need it. And that's what we are. We're sheep, and we need to be taken care of like that. But the way that he does it is he makes me lie down. And he makes me lie down on soft green grass. Hmm. And he leads me beside quiet waters. And just this word, he restores my soul. It's like, this is the way that he takes care of me. In the middle of rush and frenzy, that he has a different way. And his way is to slow down. His way is to chill out. His way is to go slower. I was listening recently. Our friend Glenn in Chicago was saying in a message that he was giving, the enemy is always telling me, hurry up, get to the next thing, finish this, accomplish that, or whatever. And he said, but the Lord, the voice of the Lord is saying to me, be still and know that I am God. And this is the way that he treats me, that he leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. And in the middle of, it was one of those deals where it was like, in the middle of the frenzy, when I read this kind of sometime last week, I took a moment to just to stop. And sure. I just wrote down each one of these words, like on an individual line, that, you know, each little phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. And then beside quiet waters, it's like he wants for me tranquility. He wants for me peace. He wants for me to slow down and to listen. And I feel like I'm trying to learn how to do that. I'm trying to learn how to slow down. I'm trying to learn how to not feel like the point is accomplishing stuff. And I'm trying to learn how to listen specifically for the voice of the shepherd.
I think that's something that one, like we don't think of these being like righteous things to do, you know, like I don't think anyone in the world does, you know, I think there's like,
we make excuses for it.
Right. Like it's laziness or it's whatever to be still and quiet, which like it can be, and it can be bad. I think I also think laziness can be fine at certain times too, but ask me how much I've napped today.
You know, everybody needs balance.
Yes, exactly. But I also, like, I don't think Christians even, like, it's like this scripture doesn't exist, even though it's one of the most popular ones in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow. I think anyone who heard this would say, like, yeah, I've heard that one before. but the idea of like being in whatever, being beside quiet, or anything that is outside of like, okay, I've got my 20 minutes with Jesus in the morning, which like for me, a lot of the times, or however long that is me reading, praying, writing, whatever, being thankful, all good things. Like, you know, a lot of what my quiet time is me reading scripture and writing prayers down in a journal, which is great. Not a lot of that, though, is this. Not a lot of it is being quiet and listening to Jesus. Not a lot of it is offering
this is a different thing.
Right. Not a lot of it is offering him space to speak into my life, you know? Like,
right.
I remember when I was in college, a lot of times, I lived 30 minutes from Oak Ridge, which is where I was a Young Life leader. So I was driving here a couple times a week. And a lot of times, I would shut my radio off at night and just drive back that 30 minutes and just be quiet or whatever. And I don't do that much anymore. You know, like I don't offer up a ton of space for the Lord to speak to me. I think it's one of the first things to go. I've heard you say that before too.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's one of the first things to go in our life, because I think a lot of us think like quiet still, and it is like quiet and stillness is like getting harder and harder where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I was talking to my roommate the other day. I'm sorry. I'm totally stealing your time,
but good.
Like he was saying, I feel right now that like, I feel like I'm looking for the next headline over and over and over again. Like whether that's with Twitter, whatever, Instagram, I'm just like, I'm refreshing. I'm like running from thing to thing. And I don't have any of this. Like there's none of this in my life. And I think this is good for me to hear right now, because it's probably like a weekly thing right now more than a daily thing for me. Like it's probably like one run a week, like where I'll go run for 30 minutes intentionally quietly, you know, where like I will have one drive, one nighttime drive for 10 minutes where I have the radio off, whatever. And like, this needs to be more of a practice, and it needs to be viewed as more of a holy thing.
Yeah. And I think it takes reps too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, swiping up on your phone and hitting that little crescent moon button so that Do Not Disturb comes up, because we all have so many notifications coming in all the time.
Right.
And doing that intentionally. I mean, it's funny that you said, like, for a lot of Christians, this doesn't exist, even though this is such a famous passage of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it doesn't exist because we feel bad about it. We're defensive about it. Like, you just spent time being quiet. Oh, yeah. Well, I had some space because some things got moved around and cleared up. So, you know, you probably shouldn't judge me that I spent time being quiet with Jesus. You know, it's like we defend ourselves on that, even though the heart of Jesus is, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, and the Song of Songs, he says, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come away with me, you know? And this is in his heart to take care of us in this way. This is how he restores our soul. And it's like, if I am feeling frenzied, that the restoration of my soul is going to come through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come through this old familiar thing of lying down and being quiet and practicing listening, getting good at it, you know, taking time to intentionally stop. I think that's good. Today's show, I don't know what just happened in this other room.
I thought you had like a cat or something.
I don't have a cat.
I know you don't have a cat, so I got really nervous.
Don't have a cat.
Living in here?
Well, my two kids that are at the house are in like the back room watching the show Family Matters, which is awesome. Have you ever seen Family Matters?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's one of the great TV sitcom theme songs of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And ABC Family got it right in the early 2000s.
Come on now.
Every afternoon from like 12 to 4 was like Family Matters, Step by Step.
Full House.
Like, it was like back to back to back to back. And it was like me and my best friend every summer day was just like Sports Center, ABC Family. Like that's what we did.
Did you ever hear of a show called Just the 10 of Us?
Just the 10 of Us.
No. That one? Oh. Ancient and New Today has been brought to you by MC Hammer and by, what was that singer's name that you used to troll?
James Blunt.
You're beautiful. Huh? Folks, thanks for joining us as always. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.
in the riches.